All right, if you have your Bibles, you can remain standing. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, if you will. And Hebrews chapter 12, and what a familiar passage of Scripture that we have this morning. And as I think about this passage of Scripture that we're going to read here in just a moment, and if ever there was a day for us as Christians to keep focused and for us as individuals to keep our eyes on Jesus, today is the day. I guess every day is that day, but today, you think of all the things that are going on, and I believe we live in a society, we live in a day and age where there's so many distractions. Yeah. Think about it. There are so many distractions, and I don't know about you, I was the individual in school that was very easily distracted. Yeah. And I was not allowed to sit in the back row because I'm a people watcher. You wouldn't believe I could make a pencil into a spaceship just like that. And in grade school, man, I was good at it, and I was somewhere else, and I had imagination. And we live in a day and age where, man, I'll tell you, there's distractions all around us. And we forget what the Christian life is all about. So look, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Just read a couple of verses, very familiar. Hebrews chapter 12. Look, if you will, at verse 1. The Bible says this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, we're going to look at this as time goes on, but that word "beset" simply means this: that which trips you up. All right? That which trips you up. It says, "doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the originator, our leader, and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I want to preach a message this morning, if I may, on bringing home the prize. Bringing home the prize. Now, lest we forget, and the Bible speaks clearly about this, we are, as individuals, as Christians, excuse me, we're just passing through. Yeah. Yeah. We sing the song, but oftentimes we forget. We're just pilgrims. We're just sojourners. We're here just for a period of time. Our home is not our physical address here. No. Our home's heaven. And we're just passing through. And as a result of that, so often, we forget that, you know, it's not about this life. It's about a life eternal. And one of these days, and I don't know about you, but everything going on, I wonder if it might not be soon. One of these days, we're going to stand face to face. We're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to answer what we did with the gifts that God has given us. And I hope it's all of our prayers, that we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so how do we bring home the prize? How do we bring home the trophy? And we'll look at that as time goes on. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And Father, we're so thankful for this day you've given us. We're so thankful for your blessings, the opportunity that we have to look at your word this morning. And I pray as we do so, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we come to some very familiar verses. But Lord, just like every verse, it's so applicable to us today. And we have been given a race to run. And I pray as we look at our lives, as we look at these verses in correlation with the life that we're living, that we could say today that, Lord, we're not setting up treasures for earth, but, Lord, our treasures are set up for heaven. And I pray again that you would bless. I pray I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't say this morning. I pray that I would be led by you. And again, we'll thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What do you think about when you think about a runner? You may be sitting here this morning and say, "I can think a lot of things about a runner, but one thing I can think of is this: that's not me." And there's been a couple times in my life that I've got this crazy idea that I would run, that I would become a runner. I know you're looking at me this morning and say, "That must have been a long, long time ago." But every once in a while I get that idea, but before too long I get some common sense and I figure out that is just not going to be me. I'm just not one of those individuals. And you may be sitting here this morning and say something like this: well, I'm not a runner. I'm too old. And I'm too sick. I'm too out of shape. But can I say this morning that every Christian here this morning can run? Every Christian here this morning should run. And every Christian, every born again, blood-bought Christian this morning, as you look at Hebrews chapter 12, will run if they take these verses to heart. In fact, as we look at Hebrews chapter 12, and these two verses that we read this morning, if you are here today and you are saved, then you are a runner. You are in a race. Now, not physically speaking, we understand that, but spiritually speaking. As I was looking at these verses here and I was doing a little study, I did a little research in Paul's day, and I believe that the Apostle Paul probably wrote the book of Hebrews. If you disagree, you can come up later and apologize to me later. But anyways, whoever wrote this, I believe the Apostle Paul, in his day, sports were a very big thing. In fact, as you look at that time period, there were several games that took place during his life. One of those was the games at Mount Olympus, and that's where we get the name or the word Olympics that we use today. There was also the Pythian Games, and there were the Isthmian Games, and that were run at Corinth. And if you were a citizen of that time, then you had the opportunity to travel from place to place and to see the great games that took place. And just like today, the athletes that took place in those games were oftentimes revered. In fact, even so much so that they not only were revered and were they admired, but oftentimes some of the greater athletes were worshipped. You say, that's crazy. Well, people are doing it today. But back in those days, they were being worshipped, and if they won the games, they were praised. If they won those games, oftentimes, in fact, history will tell us that there was poetry that was written about them. Statues were erected glorifying the great contributions that they made to the particular sport that they were in. Even the emperor of that day would stand up and he would praise the runners that had brought glory to the country that they represented. And as I said before, not much has changed since that time. In fact, sadly, I could probably say this, many of us know more about sports than we do about the Bible. Many young people know more about the stats of athletes than they do know about the verses and what the Word of God has to say. And so we live in a day and age where sports is a very, very big thing. And again, I'm not attacking sports. I enjoy sports. I had the opportunity to play sports growing up, and I believe there's a great place for them, and I enjoy them. I enjoy watching a good game even today. But the athletes today are even worshipped. Athletes of today, they are praised, and there's even songs and movies and things that are written about them. We could go home today. We could turn on the TV, and if you have cable, I don't, but if you have cable, you could probably catch a baseball game. You could catch a basketball. It may not be from this year, but baseball, basketball, soccer, there's so many things that are going on. But as we look at Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, we see that the Apostle Paul, and not only here, but he likens the Christian life to a race. Now, you may be here today and you may say something like this, that what I used to do, I can no longer do. And I'm in that category. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes I think I can do something, but my body reminds me that I cannot. The other day I was on top of my truck. I was about ready to jump off, and my brain said, that's not a good idea. You may not want to do that unless you want to lay in bed with, you know, whatever. So, oftentimes our brains, our minds make contracts that our bodies cannot fulfill. But in the life of a child of God, we must be reminded of this, that we are in a race. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how feeble you may feel. Does not matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you have prestige or whether you have none. Every blood-bought believer, every Christian this morning has a race to run, and every one of us has a course that we must conquer. As we look at Hebrews chapter 12, and the Apostle Paul, as he speaks here, we see right off the bat, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience," get this now, "the race that is set before us." Here the Apostle Paul is giving a goal. Maybe I could say it this way, he is giving us a target that we are to endeavor for. There's a direction that we need to head. There's a race that is set before us, and can I say this? It should be our desire as a child of God to run that race. I love as you look at Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore," and like every preacher likes to say, every time you see that word "wherefore," you need to find out why it's there for. And as you look at the previous chapter, we see the great heroes of the faith. These are individuals that ran the race. These are individuals that kept the faith. These are the individuals that faced great obstacles. They faced great persecution. In fact, as you look at Hebrews chapter 11, some lost their life for the cause of Christ, but they moved forward and they finished their race. And this verse here is a reminder to us that there are great people of faith that have run the Christian race and they have been successful. And so let me say this, you could say everything that's going on in our world, all the problems that we have, it's so hard to run this race that God has given us, but can I remind you of this? As a child of God, every one of us can be successful in the Christian race. Every one of us can finish the race that the Lord has set before us. We can give excuses, we can give reasons why we may not be able to do it. We can say, well, it's so bad out there, the world is going to, in a terrible direction. But may I remind you of this morning, the great heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, they suffered great too. Many lost their lives. Many, as we read toward the end of the chapter, had to hide because of great persecution. And so we can give excuses as to why we cannot run the race, but every one of us can run the race that God has set before us. And God gives us some individuals. He mentions great heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And he doesn't give those to us to inspire us necessarily. And he doesn't give those individuals to us to entertain us necessarily. But I believe that he gives those great heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 to challenge us. To challenge us. That if they could run the race, so can we. Now, I love this verse here. The Bible says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. A great number of heroes of the past. They're cheering us on. They're praying for us. I admire some how large some of the stadiums are today, some of the college stadiums. I've had the opportunity to walk into some of the college stadiums and think about what it must be like to play in that football field or that baseball field and to see all the great numbers of people. But remember this, back in the day of the Apostle Paul as he was writing this, the stadiums back then, they say, could be as large as six times as big as the football fields that we have today. And so there was a great number of individuals, and Paul says that we are playing on a field. And these heroes of the past in the stands, they're cheering us on. What a wonderful thought. Think about this. There are they're the great heroes of the faith that are in, that are praying for us and cheering us on to run the race that is set before us. Now, let me say a couple things about this race. We must understand, first of all, this race that we are running is not a race in order to get to heaven. I love what John chapter 14, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Salvation is not obtained by our good works. Salvation is not obtained by our righteousness. And the Bible clearly says that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And by the way, none of us could boast about our works. The Bible says that all of our righteousness, that idea there, the best that we have is like filthy rags. And so may I say this morning that we do not run this race in order to obtain heaven. Heaven is not the goal at the end of this race. Salvation is not the goal at the end of this race. Salvation is the gift that puts us in the race. And so there must be a difference. And many folks today are trusting in their good works and they're trusting on the best that they can do to get them to heaven. But I'm so glad that it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and have never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do that so that you can get in the race. The second thing we must understand about this race is this, that it is a particular race. That has been set for us. In fact, as we look at this passage, the Bible says the race that is set before us. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, the Bible says, but none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto me. And then he says this, so that I might finish my course. We all have a course to run. And here's the interesting thing. Your course is different than my course. My course is different than your course. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. You know, we're human beings, and oftentimes what we like to do is we like to look at everybody else's course. We look at somebody else's course, you know, the old adage, the grass is greener on the other side, and we say to ourselves, well, I wish I could run that course. But can I tell you today, God has given you a particular course. It is a race that has been given to you to run. And we don't need to compare ourselves to somebody else. Remember that we're running a race. We have a course that God has given us, and we are running against sin. We are running against this world. We are running against the flesh. And oftentimes, as individuals, we get our eyes off our course, and we put our eyes on somebody else's course. So what do? Get your eyes focused on your course. Get your eyes, as the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Why is it so often Christians stumble? Why is it so often that Christians, they just seem like they have problems time after time after time? Because their eyes are in somebody else's course. Their eyes are in somebody else's life. And their eyes are not on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if I've ever used the example here before. When I was a young boy, one time my dad had told me to go get something from the car, and I ran over to the car to get it. My mom was sitting there, and she had some instructions for me, and so I thought I could do two things at one time. I could run and look backwards and listen. Maybe there's three there. And so my mom's speaking, and I'm looking back. Yes, yes, uh-huh, uh-huh. I turn around and hit a pole about right here. It knocked me down. It knocked me out for a second there. What was my problem? My problem was this, I wasn't focused. The problem was this, I wasn't looking in front of me. And the problem with Christians oftentimes is this, the reason they have problems and they struggle time after time after time is this, because their eyes are just not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Their eye is not focused on their course. Their eye is focused on somebody else's successes, somebody else's failures. But our focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we say something like this, if I had that talent, if I could sing like that person, oh, I'll tell you, I'd be a great Christian. Well, guess what? You can't do it. Run your course. So often we think, well, if I had the means that somebody else had, then I could be a more successful Christian. But can I tell you something? The Lord Jesus Christ has given you your course. Run your course. Oh, man, if I had the brains, if I just had the brains of somebody else, man, what a great Christian I could be. But we all have a particular race that we are to run, and if we're not running that race, can I tell you something? We're sinning against ourselves. And we're rebelling against the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord has given us our course to run, and when we think we can run somebody else's course, then we are sinning against God, and we are rebelling against God's authority. So run your race this morning. The Apostle Paul says this, that we may run with patience the race that is set before us. So we see here there's a target that we must endeavor for. And by the way, if you don't have a target, you're going to wonder. Not only does he say that we have a target that we are to endeavor for, but look at this. We see the training that helps equip us. The Bible says here, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. The first thing they say is this, we have to lay aside the weights. Every once in a while, I like to watch the Olympics and watch some sports, and can I tell you something? I've never watched a race, and some guy gets up there, and he's got an overcoat on and a pair of heavy boots. And you say, well, is that something wrong with that? No, it's weight. I love the story about a rather terrible story about a man one time who went out to play golf early on a Saturday morning, and his wife became concerned when he had not returned home for dinner. It wasn't until about midnight that he comes to the front door and he's exhausted, and his wife looks at him and says, where have you been? He looks at his wife, he said, you wouldn't believe this, but I had the most incredible golf game. It's one of the best golf games I've ever had, but the fellow that I was playing with, he had a heart attack and he died. She said, well, what happened? She said, well, after I hit the ball, I dragged him, and then I hit the ball, and I dragged him, and I hit the ball, and I dragged him. You can't do that in a Christian life. So often, our Christian life is, we have weight. And by the way, that word weight doesn't mean necessarily something sinful. That word weight does not have the idea of that which is wrong. It means simply this. It means a burden that holds us down. Something that restricts us from being all that we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be a sin. The Apostle Paul says over in 1 Corinthians, he says, all things are lawful unto me. But then he said this, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul says this, he says, hey, some things may be lawful for me, but if it weighs me down, if it slows me down, then I'm going to put it aside. I'm not going to allow it to refrain or to keep me from being all that I can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's something that is not helping me in my walk with God, then it may be a problem. It may be a hobby. Maybe a business adventure. It could be a number of things. But if there's something in my life, it may not be wrong and it may not be bad. But if it is slowing me down, if it is harming my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, then I must take that weight and I must set it aside. The truth is this, that good things can become bad things when they keep us from the best thing. Get that now. Good things can become bad things when they keep us from the best thing. What is the best thing? Running the race. What is the best thing? Keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's something that is hindering my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's something that is holding me back, then I need to put it aside. Again, the old adage, you just don't go looking at a sports event and see someone all weighed down. Nothing wrong with wearing an overcoat and a trench coat and a pair of boots, especially in Ohio, but you don't run races with that. And so we have to take that weight and we have to lay it aside. The Bible says there's equipment that we must train with. And the first thing is this, that we must lay aside every weight. And then it says this, and the sin which does so easily beset us. That word beset means this, that which tangles up. Maybe you need to ask yourself this morning and search your heart, what sin in your life is tripping you up from being all that you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ? I was working on my house the other day and I had my tool belt on. I looked good. Had no idea what I was doing, but I looked good. Had a hammer over here and I had it all, had some nails, some screws in there. I looked good. I was up on a ladder and I was doing some things, and I turned around, and where my floor is at, there was a little hole there, and I stepped in the hole. I'm thankful nobody was there. And I came down, and it tripped me up. It wasn't fun. In fact, my day was pretty much through. And I picked up my pride, and I looked at me, you know, and walked out and said, I'm done for the day, and my hurts and all that. And you know what? The same thing applies in the Christian life. Sometimes we have some sin that we think, no, it's not a big deal, but it's tripping us up. It's causing us to lose our effectiveness. And by the way, oftentimes we look at these terrible, terrible sins, but I don't believe that's the majority of us today. But what I'm talking about is these sins, these little things. The things that we think are not a big deal, these things that we think is not going to hurt our Christian life, these little things, these little areas, but as a result of these little areas, they keep tripping us up, and they keep tripping us up. And many a Christian, their whole Christian life is just a little tripped up here and there. Why? Because there's that sin that so does easily beset us. What sin is tripping you up today? The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 12, the Bible says that we are to live by faith. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 is called the great hall of faith. Therefore, the race that we are running today, it's a race of faith. And a lot of us wish that we had more faith. Why is it we don't have more faith? Why is it that we can't trust the Lord Jesus Christ like we should? Why is it when problems come in our world that oftentimes Christians are distraught and they're worried and they complain and they gripe and they murmur? Why is it? Why is our faith not what it should be? I believe if we were honest with ourselves, oftentimes there's something in our life that should not be there. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 3, the same book here, in verse 12, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you having an evil heart of unbelief. That's an interesting verse there. Unbelief there is not a mental sin. That is a moral sin. It does not come out of the head, but the Bible says, rather, it comes out of the heart. Lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief. Have you ever noticed how God put sequences in the Bible? I don't know about you, but it's my thought that God put everything in there in a certain way for a reason. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I'm so thankful for its instruction and so thankful for the path of the light that it gives for our path. And when God puts things in there, He puts it in for a reason. And it's interesting how God puts things in sequences. For instance, the Bible says something like this. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace. Think about this. He never says peace and grace be multiplied unto you, but grace and peace. Why? Because you cannot know peace until you know what grace is. It's pretty simple. The Bible says this. It says, believe and be baptized. It never says, be baptized and believe. Why is that? Because true baptism follows belief. So what am I getting at here? Not only does peace follow grace and baptism follow belief, but get this now, faith follows repentance. Repentance and faith, it's always in that order. If you're having difficulty with your faith, then there might be something in your life that you need to get right with God. There is nothing more debilitating to faith than the sin that is in our heart. And I think if we are all honest with ourselves, oftentimes there's something that is in our heart that should not be there. It could be something minor, it could be something small, but as a result of that thing in our heart, instead of getting it right with God, we allow it to prohibit or to hinder our walk with Him and to run the race more effectively. The Apostle Paul says this, get rid of the weight. The Apostle Paul says this, get rid of that sin that's tripping you up. And so we see that target that we must endeavor for. We see that equipment that we must train for. Get this very quickly. We see the toll that we must endure. The Bible says this, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That word patience is an interesting word. It means simply this. It means endurance. It means to bear up under a load. The thought is this, if you're looking for an easy way to live the Christian life, you're not going to find it. Now, I don't know about you, but I like easy ways. I have my GPS on, it says save 10 minutes. I click the button. I'm looking for an easy way. I'm looking for a quick way. I'm looking for a way that's easier on me. We're all like that. We like easy. And oftentimes we'll start talking about historical things with my daughter or things. She'll be reading a book and we'll be mentioning something from in the days past. You know, where they're out there cooking on an open fire and all that. I'm so glad I got a microwave. Click, 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 and boom! Oh, there we go. Say it doesn't taste the same. I don't care. I like it quick and I like it fast. I like it easy. And so often we in the Christian life, we like it the same way. But can I tell you something? Oftentimes the Christian life can be hard. You ever watch the Olympic race? There they are. They're all lining up on the starting block. They're getting all ready. They're digging that foot in. They're getting that foot back on that block. They're getting ready to go. They're getting their hands in motion. I always like looking at their face. Their face is intense. Their face, you can see that they have a goal in mind. I have never one time seen up there where a guy's just kind of yawning and having a good time and, you know, making a joke. No, they're ready to go. Can I tell you, the Christian life is like that. Sometimes we have to pay a little extra to have the walk with God that we need to have. Sometimes we have to get up a little bit earlier so that we can read the Bible. Sometimes we have to pay the price of being different. A disciple of Jesus is one who follows the Master, who obeys his Master. And because of that, there can be a price to pay. So I think sometimes we have this idea, well, I'll just coast it in until I see Jesus. That's not how it works. We can't just coast it in and hope for the best. Can I tell you something? As Christians, we must be focused. As Christians, we have to realize that we are to be looking unto Jesus. As Christians, we have to have a goal in mind. We have to have a target. And you know what? Each and every day that we get up, we realize that God has a plan for our life. God has a purpose for our life. And we are going to do it. Whether it be hard or whether it be easy. The fact is this, if you stop running the race, you're going to lose. I love what Jesus said on the cross. His last words was this, it is finished. He did his job. The Apostle Paul says over in 2 Timothy, he says, I have finished my course. I don't know about you, but again, I'm not a running expert, but they say one of the things that you want to do toward that end is you want to have that last burst of energy. Right before you see that finish line coming, and it's not a time that you slow down. It's not a time that you get lackadaisical. It's that last few meters, all of a sudden you give that last burst of energy. I don't know about you, but I want that to be my life. I want to be, as I get to see the Lord Jesus Christ, that I gave it all I had for Him. We see the training to equip. We see the toll that will be experienced very quickly. We see the truth that is essential. The Bible says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I love that. That word author there means simply this. It means the originator. It means the leader. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that he's our leader. You ever put your eyes in something else? I admire great Christians of the past. But one thing I've noticed is this. Every man has failed at some point. Everyone. Someone's come to my library before and said, hey, can I borrow that book? And I say, yes, but let me tell you about this guy. He's great here, here, and here, but there's something you got to watch out for. And so often we as individuals, we get our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do? We put our eyes on the world. We put our eyes on an individual. We put our eyes on a man. We put our eyes on our job, whatever it may be. And then we start to stumble and we wonder why it is. Because we've taken our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we realize that the idea is this, that we looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, the originator, our leader, our hero. Faith comes from looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be looking to Him. He's perfect. He never sinned. He never failed. So what do we need to do? We keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how can I have faith? How can I keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I not stumble? How can I get to the place where I don't fall, where I trip? How can I have faith in this life that I live? Keeping your eyes on Jesus. You want to have strong faith? Look to Jesus. I think it's an interesting analogy here, but I'm going to embarrass her just a little bit, but I love my wife. She is the love of my life. Someone comes to me and they ask a question. They say, you go out of town on occasion. Yeah, okay, I'm going to be out of town for a few days. Maybe I'm here, maybe I'm there. And they come up to me and they say this. They say, while you're gone, who keeps their eye on your wife? Who keeps an eye on her? Who makes sure that she's not spending all the money? I always say, I don't have any. It doesn't matter. Who makes sure that she's not spending all the money? Who makes sure that she's doing what she's supposed to do? Who makes sure that she's not going to places she shouldn't go? And who makes sure of all that? And I look at them and I say this, nobody does. And they say, aren't you worried about it? No, I'm not worried about it at all. I don't fret about it. I don't think about it. I'm not worried about that at all. They say, wow, wow, you're a man of great faith. And I say, no, I'm not a man of great faith. I'm a man that has a great wife. And the same thing applies to the Christian life. It's not that I have my eyes on Jesus because I have great faith. I have great faith this morning because I have my eyes on a great God. It's not the other way around. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will have great faith. Why is it so often Christians stumble? Why is it so often Christians It's one thing after the other. Their eyes are not on a great God. Some Christians turn the news on, oh, what are we going to do? Iran's done this, and God's in charge. He's never failed before. He's not going to do it here. I have a great God. He's still doing great things. It's like that song goes, a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He's wonderful. He's great. And so we see here that there is a trouble that must be essential, but then we see a trophy that has to be earned. The Bible says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Get that now, that joy that was set before him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we have an incorruptible crown. I got to play sports growing up. I enjoyed sports. I got trophies. We all got trophies. Got basketball trophies and baseball trophies and, believe it or not, racquetball trophies. I was a big racquetball. You wouldn't believe it. Racquetball player. Trophies here. One day my kid said, where's your trophies at? Oh. Don't they mean anything to you? Huh? I think they're in a box in the garage in my dad's house. I don't know. Small little box like this big. Participation trophy. Don't mean anything. The Bible says there's a lot of people out there, they're striving for something. When we get to heaven, it won't matter. As they say down south, like a hill of beans. Won't be of any value at all. But we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, not for a crown that is corruptible, but a crown that is incorruptible. I'm running the race. I have my eyes focused on Jesus. Why? Because this is something that will matter for all of eternity. I'll close with this. I've said before, I have a great imagination, but I've often thought what it must have been like for the Apostle Paul. As he was spending his last days there in the maritime prison, waiting to die. It was in that prison that he wrote his last letter to Timothy, and I can only imagine as Paul sit there in that cold, damp prison, waiting for the day that door would open and they would say, today is the day. Well, we all know that day came and the Apostle Paul was sitting there. How it happened exactly, I don't know, but maybe as he was sitting there in that cold, damp prison, all of a sudden he heard the keys begin to turn the lock and the door creaked as it opened up. And maybe that jailer looked into the prison cell and said, Paul, today's the day. I can only imagine there as the Apostle Paul and this jailer, as they're walking there by the Tiber River, as they're getting ready for the execution, and as they're walking, all of a sudden, the guard stops for a second, and he looks over at the Apostle Paul, and he says, are you humming a song? And Paul says, I'm sorry. He said, what are you humming? He said, I'm humming the song, It Will Be Worth It All When We See Jesus. Prisoner, the guard looks at him and says, oh, okay. And could you imagine? They continue to keep walking, and then all of a sudden, as they're walking there, he comes to the place of his execution, and there his head is severed from his body. And as we read the scriptures, we know the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's the great Apostle Paul, who has done so much for the cause of Christ. He has been executed for the faith. He's become a martyr for the faith. And there he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. I've often thought this. What do you think was Paul's first words? I don't think it was something like this, Lord, I was such a big, big influence. I don't think the Apostle Paul said, man, I was something special, wasn't I? Man, I could pin some scripture. I think it's something like this, Lord, I've conquered my course. In fact, he said so in 2 Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I often wonder if that was his words, Lord, I've finished my course. And I wonder if maybe the Lord's words to the Apostle Paul was something like this. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I truly believe that one of these days, sooner than later, every individual has been saved. I believe it's soon. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think we're going to tell him about the successful business that we had. I don't think we're going to tell him about our favorite sports team. I don't think we're going to tell him about how many square foot our house had. But one thing I think we will do is we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and we will give an account with the race that we were called to run. And I truly believe that every one of us, with all of our hearts, are going to desire so very much to hear the Lord Jesus Christ look at us and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Will that be said of you? Will it be said of you that you took home the prize? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for this day you've given us and for your blessings. Lord, how true it is that we all have a race. My race is not their race is not my race. But Lord, you've given us a race to run. You have given us a course to complete. And I pray that every individual here this morning can say that their eyes are on you and that they're fulfilling, that they're finishing their race that they've been called to run. There may be some here this morning, Lord, that have slowed that thing down. They've stopped. They've lost focus. They've lost the priority in life. What a wonderful opportunity today to get back on track. To get back on the track. To dust the shoes out and put them on and say, "Lord, I'm ready to run." There may be some here today that have never even joined the race. Lord, I pray that you'd work in their heart when it comes to the need of salvation. Whatever the need may be, I pray that you would bless. And we'll thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen.